The following is a presentation from the pulpit of Lancaster Baptist Church. For more audio and video content from our ministry, please visit lancasterbaptist.org.
As we come to Acts 20 tonight, we find the Apostle Paul on his third missionary journey, and he is speaking these famous words to the Ephesian elders concerning his ministry amongst them. And he reminds them that at Ephesus, he taught the doctrines of the Word of God, both publicly and from house to house. And what a wonderful week this past week has been, going publicly and from house to house with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you think about the Apostle Paul at this point in his ministry, you think about the term third missionary journey, and you're reminded of the fact that along the way, this man has been shipwrecked, he has been beaten with rods, he has found himself in various predicaments, including thought for dead and stoned and left outside of Lystra. He has gone through every imaginable difficulty simply in his effort to get the gospel from city to city for the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet through it all, he never quit. Through it all, he never complained. He was found faithful. And when it came time for the writing of 2 Timothy, he was able to say that he was now ready for his departure and that he had kept the faith and that he had been faithful for the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you tonight, but it is my prayer that I might be found faithful for my Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you want to be found faithful? Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And tonight, as we read a moment ago in chapter 20, and beginning there in verses 22 through 24, the Apostle Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "None of these things move me." In other words, he's acknowledging the fact that there are many things that can and do move people. And we have seen many times Christians who have moved from place to place doctrinally and from place to place philosophically, and pastors that have been moved aside by the pressures of life and ministry, or have moved aside from a position that once they held so dearly. And yet Paul says, when I consider the pressures of life and ministry, none of these things move me. He says, I consider them as nothing. I value them not even as a straw. I'm not going to let these things move me away from my Lord and from the work of my Lord. Now, I don't have to tell you tonight, this is not kindergarten. I don't have to tell you tonight that the devil would like to move you. The devil would like to destroy you. He would like to sift you and me like wheat. He would love it if this church never knocked on a door ever again. He would love that. And he really doesn't care why you move. He doesn't care if it's because of pride or people problems or persecution, or if it's because of something with your children or because of some gossip that you hear or because of some feeling that you have. He really doesn't care why you move. He just wants you to move, and he wants you to be found unfaithful to the things of God. But Paul said, none of these things move me. Now tonight I want to share with you three declarations of the unmovable Christian. Three statements that I find in this text from this unmovable man that we call the Apostle Paul. And if you're taking notes tonight, I want you to notice, first of all, Paul says, people won't move me. I will not let people problems move me away from serving my God. How many of you have been saved long enough to have disappointment with people? All right? If you've been saved any length of time, there have been someone in your life that you thought was a good Christian, you thought was a great pastor, you thought was a really good example, and something happened and suddenly it wasn't what you thought. Sometimes people that you thought would lift your burden only added to your burden, and sometimes people you thought would get saved never did get saved. And so all of a sudden, people problems can come in and can discourage us from staying faithful to the Lord. Well, notice what Paul says in verse 22. He says, "And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there." Now, I want you to see here the burden of which Paul speaks. He speaks about going bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem. He's speaking about an overwhelming burden, a burden for people, the burden of the ministry. Let me just pause to say, it's a good thing to be burdened for people to come to the Lord. I've seen some Christians that bear a burden for a lost friend or for a city or even for a country, and because it doesn't go like they think it should go, some of them try a different ministry format, and some of them just quit the ministry entirely, and that is not the answer. The answer may be more prayer. It may be a special anointing from God, but Paul said, I'm not going to stop bearing this burden for people. 2 Corinthians 11:28, he said, and beside all of these problems that are without, he said, and all of that that cometh upon me daily, there is the care of the churches. He said, I'm willing to bear the burden for people. And so notice that burden in verse 22. First of all, I want you to see he was bound. He's referencing here a strong leading of the Holy Spirit. The word bound is a passive voice indicating the fact that Paul did not bind himself, but he was performing an action under the binding of the Holy Spirit, and he was bound of God to go on behalf of these people. I'm going to tell you something. You'll be able to tell in short time a God-called missionary, a Holy Spirit-bound missionary from a mama-called, papa-sent missionary. And you'll be able to tell in short time a God-called soul winner and a God-called witness from somebody that just kind of got caught up in the emotion of the moment. But you see, someone that is bound by the Holy Spirit, then they will not be so easily swayed by the reactions of people. And Paul said, I am bound by the Holy Spirit to go to Jerusalem. I am bound to witness. I'm bound to lead others to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank God tonight for Christians in this church that have not made soul winning a passing fancy or a seasonable option, but have been bound to get the gospel to Lancaster and bound to get the gospel to Palmdale and bound to get the gospel to our neighbors and to our family. And America tonight needs some Christians bound in the Spirit, regardless of what the response is or is not. I know that God wants me to share the gospel with these in need. I'm bound to share the gospel with them. Years ago, I remember Brother Clark Graham, your sister Elizabeth. She was working at the bank in Quartz Hill, and just a nice afternoon, and things were going fine. She was a teller, and a man came into the bank with a gun and said, give me all the money. And Elizabeth did what she was trained to do. She reached over for a button, a panic button, to call the authorities, and it scared the man. He was probably on drugs or something, and suddenly he pulled out that revolver, and he shot Elizabeth Graham, I think at least one time, maybe more. I remember visiting her at Holy Cross Hospital not long after she was shot, a few hours later. But while she laid there on the ground with blood coming out of her body, she looked at the man that had just shot her, and she said, sir, if you were to die today, do you know where you would spend eternity? And as I got to her gurney there as they were rolling her in for emergency surgery after evacuating her down to Holy Cross, I remember Elizabeth saying, pastor, would you tell the orchestra members I can't be at practice Saturday night? And pastor, this is my nurse, and I don't think she's saved. I'm telling you, that young lady was bound. She was bound in her spirit. And we need in this church, and we need young men in this building tonight who won't just be considering the option, who won't just be looking at what could happen or considering what might happen. But we need some men and women tonight who are bound in the spirit to say, God, I've got to be used by you. God, please help me. And if someone didn't come this past Sunday, then God, help me to reach someone else. I'm bound in the spirit. And I won't let people's response or lack of response hold me back from doing what I'm supposed to do. He was a bound man. He was a burdened man. The Bible says of our Lord, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. Acts 18 and verse 5, when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. He was bound in the spirit. The Bible says you could tell, you could see it. In verse 20, the Bible says he kept nothing back, but what was that was profitable unto them, but showed them and taught them publicly and from house to house. Listen, when somebody's bound in the Spirit, you can see it in their lifestyle. You can see it in the way they talk and in their faithfulness to witness. They have the urgency of God upon them. Oh, what a blessing tonight. Paul said, listen, I'm going to Jerusalem. He says, I'm bound in the Spirit to go. And sometimes the burdens of others and sometimes the reactions of others can discourage us, and sometimes we don't keep on keeping on. And the reason that Paul said, listen, people are not going to move me away, is because he wasn't serving people. He wasn't doing what he did for some pastor or some other apostle. He wasn't doing what he did based upon whether he was received nicely by the neighbors. He was doing what he did because God had called him to do what he did. Tonight, if you're a people pleaser, if you do what you do for men, you won't be doing it long. But Paul was bound in the Spirit. Hence, we could say of him, people won't move me. I will be faithful to God. Oh, I think of the many missionary movements that would never have come to pass had those missionaries quit after a first few fruitless years. But because they were bound in the Spirit, they stayed in Burma, they stayed in India, they stayed in the Philippines, they stayed in Africa, and soon God began to bless because they were bound of God to do what He had called them to do. And so Paul the Apostle, in his testimony tonight, when he says, none of these things will move me, I believe the first thing he could say is, people and the response of people, good or bad, will not deter me from doing what God has called me to do. Notice, secondly, I believe Paul would tell us, problems won't move me. I'm not going to let the problems of life and ministry move me to the side. Notice in verse 22 of this text, he says, and now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem. Would you read the next portion with me of this verse? Ready, begin. Not knowing the things... All right, now that you found it, let's read the whole verse together. Ready, begin. And now, behold, I go in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things. Now, Paul says, I don't know what's going to happen. He said there will probably be some trials there, not knowing the things that will befall me there. He's alluding to the fact, I don't know what may happen there. It may be like Lystra. It may be like Iconium or Derbe or any one of my other missionary stops. It may be that I'm not received well there. He said in 2 Corinthians 11:24, of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils amongst false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. He said, that's what I've had so far. I don't know what might happen in Jerusalem, but my obedience to God does not depend upon what happened to me in the past. And some of you tonight may need to get over something that happened in the past. Maybe some Christian didn't treat you right. Maybe you were confused about something or hurt by someone, or maybe someone that you thought was a better Christian didn't do real well. As Paul said, there was even the perils amongst the false brethren. I don't know what your perils may have been, but don't use your perils as an excuse to not serve God tomorrow. Paul said, I've had my licks. I've had my share of licks. And I don't know what's going to happen to me in Jerusalem. I just know this. God wants me there. And I'm pressed to do what God wants me to do. Oh, listen, the trials come and the testings come. Notice in verse 23 what it says, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city. By the way, thank God, we're not the soul winners. The Holy Ghost is the soul winner. But look at the latter part of that verse, saying that bonds and afflictions abide in me. Paul says, if it's like it's been in other places, then what's waiting for me in Jerusalem is prison and trials. What I could probably expect is what I've had before, like at Philippi, when Paul and Silas sang at midnight. He said, even though the Holy Spirit is witnessing in every city, it seems like bonds and afflictions abide in me. Listen, Most of us, if we knew that's what was going to happen, if we went out soul winning on Tuesday or Saturday, we'd say, thanks, but no thanks. Been there, done that. And the average Baptist church in America tonight could be called been there, done that, because they've tried it once and they've tried to be faithful for a season. But thank God for men like the Apostle Paul who said, hey, I'm not going to let people stop me and I'm not going to let problems stop me. I'm going to be bound to do what God has called me to do. Testings come. We've had testings. We've had trials. I remember the early days here. You might find this hard to believe. I remember the test of loneliness. I remember coming in on a Wednesday night to two people. I remember coming in the office when we didn't even know where the phone was. It would ring and we'd run to find it. And then it would stop ringing before we could find it. And finally one day, I remember when I found that phone, it was in a back closet in the church. And I answered it, and it was a wrong number. I can recall some of those days. The trials, the testings, the disappointments with people within, without the church. The first building program. I have to finish in 2 minutes or I'd tell you about that first building program. Time does not permit all of the challenges and all of the learning process. But we learn that God's delays are not God's denials. When things are not exactly on our timetable, it didn't mean that God wasn't working. We've had the test of unfaithful helpers. Confidence in an unfaithful man is like time of trouble, is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. And we've had the trials and we've had the testings. But 27 years later, there are men and women here who've learned how to pray and learn how to wait and learn how to walk in the Holy Spirit. And listen, tonight, the men and women who will change this world are the men and women that this world cannot change. Men and women who learn how to stand faithful on the Word of God and simply say, people will not move me, and problems will not move me. None of these things move me, he said. But Paul said, people will not move me, and problems will not move me. But notice thirdly tonight, and I want you to just kind of follow with me on this. He says, pride will not move me. Pride will not move me. Now, let me tell you something about human nature, something about myself and yourself. Many people aren't going to quit because life is really that bad. Many people quit because we think too highly of ourselves. We think that we should get an exempt card. Our family shouldn't have that problem. Our family's been good at the church. Why am I treated this way? And many people quit, not because it's so bad, but because they think it shouldn't be so bad for them, and that is called pride. Listen, the foundation of gratitude is the expectation of nothing. When I come into my Sunday school class expecting certain things, when I give expecting certain things, when I do expecting certain accolades, I'm setting myself up for disappointment. You ever seen that, fellas, when you try to butter your wife up? You ever seen it, ladies, when you try to manipulate your husband and the dodo didn't even get it? You're trying to work him up for something you want and he doesn't even understand it. And you set yourself up for disappointment. Now, as we close tonight, look at verse 24. Paul says, but none of these things, speaking of the bonds, the afflictions, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. Now, if you take notes, I want to give you four reasons why pride did not stop the Apostle Paul. And I don't have time to elaborate on it tonight. Dr. Flanders is here. He's one of the foremost experts on revival in our country. He would tell you that pride is perhaps the greatest hindrance to revival, and that at the root of every sin is pride. And Paul said, I'm not going to let pride move me. Listen, only by pride cometh what? Contention. Well, if that's what they think, I'm out of here. Well, isn't that a humble little spirit? You know? Well, just tell him to call my attorney. I don't have one, but it feels good to say that. Pride. Four reasons that Paul did not leave the ministry due to pride. Pride can produce a haughty spirit. Pride can produce immorality. Pride can produce a lack of servant's heart. Pride can cause us to think, I don't need this junk. I'm out of here. But four reasons that Paul was never taken down by pride. Notice very quickly. Number one, or letter A, he did not overvalue himself. We live in the day of self-help, self-worth, self-esteem, self-magazine, building up esteem. And I understand we need to encourage. We don't need to break someone's spirit. But Paul says something that's very telling in this passage. He says, none of these things move me, notice this, neither count I my life dear unto myself. He says, I am not taking myself so seriously that I matter the most. And by the way, Paul could have been filled with pride. He was a man that had much in the way of accomplishment. Philippians 3:5, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews as touching the law, a Pharisee concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. He said, anything special about me, who I am, what I've done, what position I have at work, what education I've had, it's nothing more than dung. I've thrown it all in the trash pile because nothing matters about me anymore. It's not about me. It's about Christ. I'm going to tell you something. Probably none of us in this room have fully ever come to that point. But Paul said, I am not going to value self to the point that I miss what God has for my life. And the only hope of a decreasing self is an increasing Christ, looking unto Jesus, worshiping at the feet of Jesus, recognizing the glory and the holiness of Jesus. And many folks who have expectations of self will leave their marriage and will leave their place of ministry and will not be faithful because it was all about them in the first place. It wasn't Jesus, how can I know you? Jesus, how can I serve you? How can I sing for you or not sing for you? How can I teach for you or not sing for you? And sweetheart, how can I help you or what can I do for you? It was never about others. It was never about Christ. Always about them. And someone that is wrapped in that paper called self and pride ultimately will come unwrapped and be unhappy because it never was right in the first place. Paul did not overvalue himself. He counted his accolades as trash that he might know and serve Christ. Secondly, he relied on the Holy Spirit of God. He is the one under the inspiration who taught us, walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But look at verse 22 again, and notice how he words this as the Lord leads. He says, and now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, either by direct revelation to him or by the predictions of inspired men whom Paul might meet along the way. God was guiding and God was directing this man. And Psalm 28 in verse 7 says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him and I am helped. And it was back in the moment of his salvation when he looked up to the Lord and said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And it was at that moment of salvation that Paul first felt the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. Now listen to me. Listen very carefully. 25-year church member at Lancaster Baptist Church. Hey, it's a wonderful thing that the Holy Spirit pricked you and you got saved. And he pricked you and you came to church. And he pricked you and you've been serving the Lord faithfully, perhaps for many years. But listen, don't get to the place where you can no longer feel the pricking of the Holy Spirit. That is a place of pride when we might as well say, it's all right, God. I didn't need that one tonight. I don't need the altar call. I don't need the winter revival. I've been there, done that. Paul said, no, I never got over my need for the convicting of the Holy Spirit of God. He did not overvalue himself. He relied on the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, he valued the privilege of ministry. He valued the privilege of serving God. Look at verse 24. But none of these things move me, neither count my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received. He said, I want to testify in verse 24. I want to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. Now listen right here very carefully. I promise you, as sure as I'm standing here, that 10 to 20 years from now, if you're still living, and you look back over the course of your life, and you mark the high points of your life, listen, it won't be a plane that flew, and it won't be a big arrest, and it won't be a possession that you had. The highlights of our life are going to be marked by, remember when we started supporting our 200th missionary? Remember when 94 got saved? Remember when 105 got saved? Remember when so-and-so got saved? Remember what God did? And I want to challenge you tonight to stay in love with what God is doing. Paul said in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 12, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. And you ought to thank God tonight that he saved your soul and he put you into a soul-winning church and a missions-minded church, and that when we give to the Lord Jesus Christ, we actually see people getting saved and hear from missionaries that are seeing people get saved. And Paul said, hey, I don't want to get so filled up with myself that I haul off and quit and lose the blessing of being a part of what I'm a part of right now. Hey, there's some bigger things in life than my feelings and my wants, and the biggest thing in life is when others come to Jesus Christ. Four reasons Paul did not stumble with pride. He did not overvalue himself. He relied on the Holy Spirit. He valued the ministry. And fourthly, don't miss this one, he wanted to finish his course with joy. He wanted to finish his course with joy. Look at verse 24 again. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. With joy. We've had the privilege of having some wonderful examples of that in our church. And I always hate to name names. Marion, I always think of Brother Frank. He just loved God and he loved church. I think of Bob and Joyce Lane tonight. Bob went to heaven. It seemed like Joyce a few weeks later said, you're not going without me, bud. And she went to heaven. I miss them. A lot of our senior saints, I miss them. They'd line up there at the back. A lot of them never missed the chance just to say, hey, pastor, thanks for that message. That was good. Boy, it's a blessing to see what God's doing at our church. Just joy in their heart, finishing. When I remember them finishing their course with joy. And the Apostle Paul, what a testimony. I remember Dr. Lee Robertson, he and Mrs. Robertson coming so many times, and how he'd always talk to me about Sunday school. 10 o'clock sharp, Brother Chapel started. 10 o'clock sharp. Some of you are here when he taught us that song. 10 o'clock sharp, 10 o'clock sharp. I will be in Sunday school at 10 o'clock sharp. Boy, he'd teach us that. He was 94 years old, still excited about the ministry. Mrs. Robertson traveling across the country. I remember the last time I saw Brother Robertson, I preached with him in Atlanta, Georgia. He was coming down the hotel hallway, and I said, here, Dr. Robertson, let me help you put your bags in the suitcase, in the trunk for you. No, 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 he said. When I can't put them in the trunk and can't drive my car, they won't let me preach anymore. I'll do it myself. Yes, sir. I was preaching not long ago in Atlanta, and Brother Sisk texted me. He is a high-tech fourth quarter Christian, let me tell you right now. Pastor, are you going to be in Atlanta? He lives about 3 hours from there when he's back there in the summer season. He said, I'm going to come and hear you preach. I really didn't want him to. He's busy. He didn't have to come see, hear me preach. He's heard me preach before. I said, you don't have to. I'm coming. He came in the meeting and He sat in the back, and boy, he was amening and nodding and laughing at jokes he'd heard me tell before, and that's what good church members do. And afterwards, I went up. I said, "Brother Sisk, you didn't have to come over here." "Oh, I'm so glad I did." He said some kind things. He had a bruise on his hand, his whole hand bruised. I said, "Brother Sisk, what happened to your hand?" He said, "Oh, Pastor, I got in a little accident coming down here tonight. Just didn't know how it happened. All of a sudden, I got in that accident. His whole hand had bruised, and lady was giving him an aspirin so it didn't clot." You know, here Brother Sisk is in the later years of his life, he just wanted to be a blessing to his pastor. He wanted to encourage the meeting. He didn't walk in and go, "Ah," and I've, with all due respect to missionaries, I've heard this before, "Oh, got a cracked up car and a flat tire and don't know how I'll ever fix it." I had to extract from him what happened. It wasn't like he carried a sign, "Beleaguered missionary needing help. Car fender broken due to my love for my pastor and the work of God." None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself. You see, why do you get so easily offended? Why do we quit so soon? Why do we think we didn't deserve it? Because we think perhaps a little more of ourselves than we really should. Paul said, none of these things are going to move me. People aren't going to move me. I'm going to stay bound and go right on to Jerusalem. Problems aren't going to move me. The trials that come, the shipwrecks, the beatings. Hey, I've come this far by faith. I'm going to press the rest of the way. And by the way, pride won't get me down. I'm going to die daily. I'll die to self. I'll look to the cross and be filled with the Spirit. It's not about me. It's about Him. The unmovable Christian. What kind are you? What kind of Christian are you tonight? May we tonight say, none of these things move me.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If this message has helped you, we hope you will share with a friend or family member. We always love to hear from those whom God has changed through His Word. Share your story with us at lancasterbaptist.org/contact.